Northampton Saints were formed in 1880, but by the turn of the millennium, it had been 120 years without a major trophy to their name. To make matters worse, their bitter East Midlands rivals, their neighbours and nemesis, Leicester Tigers, were sitting at the top of English rugby with three titles in the 90s, including the toughest one for Saints to take. They finished runners-up to Leicester in 1999. In the latest episode of our Rugby Stories podcast series, we're heading back to the 1999-2000 season, when Northampton ended their long wait for glory in style by winning European rugby's biggest prize, the Heineken Cup.
Northampton Saints had never won a trophy. We'd never actually won anything, and that was always in the back of your mind.
Ben Cohen with the pace to go all the way.
We've gone from a point of potentially winning the triple to we're at a point where we might come out of this season with nothing.
Why, oh, why did he do that?
How he didn't get sent off, I've still no idea. Made a hell of a sound, though, when he whacked him.
And it's all his, and his alone.
Was a hell of a crescendo.
It's on the way, and it's there!
We had a few beers in the changing rooms. We had a few beers on the way home. A few beers all night long, to be fair.
In Rugby Stories, you'll get the full, extended, uncut anecdotes from the players, coaches and key figures, some never told before. Northampton's first giant leap forwards began with a sizeable step backwards.
Despite Matt Allen's second try, news from Gloucester dulled any victory celebrations. 21-12 it finished, and together with their huge travelling support, the Saints, sadly, went marching down.
In 1995, Saints were relegated to the second division. This coincided with the game turning professional, so to many watching on, 95-96 was not the season to be missing out on the top flight. But it was a chance to regroup and restock with younger players, create new foundations for future planning. Now, when you ask any Northampton fan about the Heineken Cup victory, Paul Grayson is one of the first names you'll hear. Grayson is the club's top point scorer. He was part of the England squad that won the 2003 Rugby World Cup. And of course, he had a huge part to play in Northampton's glory year. But Grayson's sporting path could have been very different, as he explains.
My journey to finally end up at Northampton was, it was pretty short, slightly convoluted in that up until the age of 17, going on 18, I was pretty certain I was going to be a professional footballer, but nobody else was. So I turned to rugby union purely because of friends from college at Tewson College in Preston. Most of the football team also played rugby at the weekends. So when I arrived at the Saints, they were having something of a second revolution. They'd had one some years before, turning the club from old school to kind of new old school, if you like. And that was a continuing process. So it was a changeable time when I joined. In the next couple of years, we had limited success.
So when some saw relegation as an end, Northampton saw a chance for a new beginning. They had one of the best in the world at the helm, the legendary boss of Four Lions Tours, Sir Ian McGeoghegan. And he was the perfect man to rebuild the Saints, even if Grayson and co. couldn't quite believe he was there.
I had a whale of a time, and as did we all, but we ended up getting relegated. And then in the season that Ian McGeoghegan, who was one of the best coaches in the world at that point, how we managed to bag him, I'm not quite sure. But Geach coming to the club signalled a change, A, from amateur to professional, because the game turned in 95. A rebuild when we were in the Division One, what would be the Championship now, and an identity and a style of play that Geach was committed to, and then some decent recruitment. So the next few years were an acceleration of that process.
Centre Matt Allen was an ever-present in Europe for Saints in the cup-winning season. He joined the club during their resurgence and saw that a team with real potential was being assembled.
A really welcoming community, both the playing side but also the supporters. I was made to feel really, really welcome amongst some relatively big names, and turning up at the first training session not knowing a person, and I was just accepted for me, and was given all the opportunities that I needed, really. And the same within the supporters. You were always made to feel welcome. Even if we'd had a bad game, you would still get clapped off the pitch and patted on the back, and just felt like a club where you could really enjoy yourself. We had a meeting, so I drove down from university, not really knowing what to expect. You know, that was it had been my first season at the club. There's no correlation, I don't think, between me arriving and us getting relegated. But we turned up, and I didn't know what to expect, whether we were going to lose some of the big names we had, whether coaches would go, whether players would stay. And all of the big names at the club had met either on the Sunday or the Monday morning, I'm not sure when it was, but they met up and they committed to staying at the club. And that was hugely influential, I think, to the whole team, the whole squad, because we knew that those players still wanted to wear the black, green and gold and to get the club back to where we knew that we should have been.
Scotland international and army training instructor Matty Stewart knew a thing or two about building a team. When the prop joined McGeachan's side in 1997, he could see the team was absolutely stacked with talent.
I was actually playing for Blackheath against the Northampton that year, so I was on the receiving end of a good kick in.
Second division, yes. Second rate? I don't think so.
There's a lot of players who've got a lot to thank Ian McGeachan for. You know, had a big part to play in my career, brought me to Northampton. So then we had some amazing players from the England team. Tim Robb was our captain, Matt Dawson, that Ian Hunter, Paul Grayson, Nick Beale. All the players loved him, and it was quite a shame when he said he was going back to Scotland.
When McGeachan answered the call and returned to Scotland to become director of rugby in 1999, there was real disappointment in the team. They just finished second in the table to rivals Leicester, their highest ever league finish. And there was a danger that all the good work would be undone. Matt Allen and first year Paul Grayson remember the transition to a new director of rugby, John Steele.
Brought an extra level of order to the team. Yes, we lost rugby intellect, but there aren't many in the world who could replace Geach.
It was an interesting time when Geach left, because he obviously had been the guiding force of what we wanted to do and was hugely respected. And there were big shoes to fill. And John Steele came in and was a real manager of people. He recognised that we had a pretty good thing going. We had some very, very good players. We'd developed an excellent squad over the previous 4 or 5 years. And he'd have been foolish to come in and try and change things. So he managed the team well. He used the resources in terms of the players and the ideas really, really well. And he allowed the leaders to lead and to continue driving the team and the club forwards.
We were building a team. We were quietly confident that we were going in the right direction. Some of the signings they were getting were world-class signings. And being a young lad, being in the same change room as these guys, was absolutely amazing.
One of the standout leaders was Samoa's Pat Lamb, who took over the captaincy from Tim Rodber. So close to that trophy in 1999, Lamb would lead the renewed charge the following season. Northampton would be in the Heineken Cup, and even their more successful foes over at Welford Road had yet to claim European rugby's biggest prize. Saints had Neath, Edinburgh and Grenoble standing in their path to the knockout stages.
The Heineken Cup and the opportunity to play against the best teams in Europe, it is what it says on the tin, it is the opportunity to play against the best teams in Europe, home and away, for a meaningful trophy at the end of it. So once the draw was made and we had Neath, Edinburgh and Grenoble, we thought that was a pool that we could win.
Samoa number 8, Pat Lamb, sets the tone with a straightforward try.
Opening round of a European campaign, to have a home game is vital, because in old money, win your home games, get what you can on the road. Bonus points are vital. No try bonus points or finishing within 7. So a win was a win. To have Neath at home and to be able to get over the line was just the start we wanted.
The pool started well then, with that 21-12 home win over Neath. But Northampton weren't many people's favourites to go far in the tournament. And as Stewart explains, a bruising defeat in France in the next match seemed to confirm those predictions.
Grenoble away is the most violent game I've ever played in. They wasn't too happy about what we were doing in the game, and we wasn't happy what they were doing.
Blood spilt and shirts ripped and patience tested. As rugby experiences, those early days of French rugby away, they would live up to brutal.
Backs, forwards, the referee was just letting everything go. And, you know, we were second best. From my memory, I think we lost it at the end, but you know, we had a bit of a battle with their number 8, and I do remember
meeting him in the nightclub that evening. And all I can say is that we was all running out of that nightclub at the end of the night, and with the bouncers chasing us with baseball bats.
The defeat made it vital that Saints didn't drop any more points. Next up, they had a doubleheader against Edinburgh. Lose those, and Matt Allen knew Northampton's European hopes would be over.
If we wanted to keep our Heineken Cup season on track, we had to win those two games.
Gary Pagel for the line, got to be over. He is the big South African, scores the first try of the game.
And we played some good rugby.
We were firing on all cylinders when we played them. So when we went away from home, we were very, very confident we were going to get that result.
And that's it. Northampton Saints have got their Heineken Cup campaign back on the road.
So then, a chance for Matty Stewart and Northampton to get revenge on the Grenoble team that had terrorised Saints in France.
It's a perfect winter's day here at Franklin's Gardens, a game that could see Northampton clinch a place in the quarter-final of the Heineken Cup.
We learnt from the away game that we could compete with these guys at home. So we were very, very confident leading into the home game against Grenoble. If they weren't up for it in that first scrum, then we knew we got them. And, you know, the first scrum went down on their ball and we literally pushed them off of it and won the ball back. Crowd went crazy. And to be fair, you know, they weren't in the game after that. So get the dominance up front against the French side. They won't like that.
In the middle of all that, great work from Cohen, and the try is given. They've got through in the end, and it's Budge Pountney.
Ben Cohen was on fire that day.
Well, a bit more dynamism now with Cohen. That is brilliant, forceful running. Ben Cohen with the pace to go all the way. That is a tremendous try.
It was Neath in South Wales to finish the pool, with victory meaning Northampton would be one of the top-seeded teams in the quarterfinals and get a coveted home tie. There was also an opportunity for a former Neath player to make a statement to his old club.
Alan Bateman was a Neath boy. He was obviously playing for us. He'd been to rugby league, and it was almost a homecoming for him.
Lovely pick-up by Bateman. Slight home, going for the corner, and there's Bateman. His first match here for 11 years.
We played extremely well, almost to make sure that his homecoming was one to enjoy.
I think we were on a crest of a wave at that point in the Tetley Bitter Cup, doing really well in the league, quarterfinals of Europe. At one point, we were top of the league, and things were going really, really well. We were playing some great rugby, and we were winning games that we needed to, and everyone was in a good place.
They needed to be in a good place, because next up, in the quarterfinals, were Wasps. Stewart was confident.
We were building up quite a reputation and making Franklin's Gardens a fortress. So we were extremely pleased to be playing Wasps in the quarters. We knew, you know, we could beat them. They had an amazing team at the time as well. So we knew it was going to be a fantastic game.
It always helps having the things that you know. The changing rooms, the match, the preparation, the time you turn up, the kit being where you know it's going to be, the physio where you know the physio is going to be, the warm-up on the same side of the pitch, and all these things that just make you a little bit more comfortable. And it means you can focus more on the priority, which is the 80 minutes on the pitch. You're not second-guessing what's happening, who's going to be where, why people are doing what they're doing.
One place to be decided. One English team to go into the last four of the Heineken Cup.
Drawing teams from your own country, your own league, in European competition is sometimes a benefit and sometimes a massive pain, because you've played against them so often, you know the personalities, you know the traits, you might have a good record against the team, you might have an average record against the team. I think we played Wasps something like four times in that season, so getting them in a home quarterfinal was an added dimension, because two good teams, both wanting to do well in Europe, Wasps led by Lawrence Dallaglio.
With Lawrence Dallaglio and Joe Worsley leading the charge for Wasps, Saints were struggling to keep in touch.
For large parts of the game, we were outplayed.
Wasps were extremely good. They pushed us all the way. All their top players performed.
Worsley cuts inside. Worsley, great skill by the wing forward. Worsley clean through. Oh, a great solo effort by Joe Worsley. And the drama goes on at Franklin's Gardens.
We certainly had a never say die attitude at that point. We were a squad of players who, in the main, had played together for 5 years. We managed to turn things round.
Although Wasps have dominated, they haven't shaken off Northampton here. They're still in touch.
19 points to 22 down with 75 minutes gone. Saints were heading out, but work from Stewart and the forwards set up a chance to level the match.
5 minutes to go, we're losing, and all you're thinking is we need to get something.
Offside Wasps, penalty to Northampton.
We managed to burgle one or two penalties and upslotted Paul Grayson, as he always does.
As a goal kicker, you get the odd moment where everything is aligned. I was kicking well anyway that season. I hadn't missed that day. I'm entirely aware of the situation, and it'd be fair to say I absolutely smoked it. It was a perfect hit.
It gives you real confidence to know that if you get a penalty in the opposition half, you've got a pretty good chance of that being converted to 3 points. Grace was kicking really, really well that season, and there was definitely a feeling of if he called for the tee, then that was 3 points. We need to go get ourselves ready for a kickoff.
I did enjoy doing that because it was the thing I brought to the team. It was something that I was world class at, or became world class at. And having grown up basically kicking anything that was put in front of me and thoroughly enjoying it, that aspect of rugby was the one where I knew I could excel.
Then the moment that would decide the quarterfinal. A debated penalty for what was deemed a late tackle on Saints try scorer Dom Malone by Will Green. Grayson knows that even after 2 decades, it's a decision that still haunts his old friend, Lawrence Dallaglio.
Whether it was a penalty or not depends on whether you're wearing a Wasps shirt or a Northampton shirt.
That's a contentious decision.
Lawrence only mentions it every time I see him.
Dallaglio and Wasps could only watch on as Grayson set up a kick to put Northampton into the semi-finals.
Grayson draws it in, was always going to hit the target. Paul Grayson with his 6th successful kick. Northampton ahead, 25-22.
The clock was up, really. As soon as the penalty was given and I assessed where it was, it was very much it. I've been here before. Just do the same thing and that'll take care of it. So an epic finish to a difficult contest.
Over it went, and that was us. We won the quarterfinal. We've got quite a lot to thank Paul Grayson for.
The referee's whistle goes. It was dramatic from start to finish. They are through to the semi-final of the Heineken European Cup because they have beaten Wasps of London by 25 points to 22.
I'm not sure that a late victory makes it a sweeter victory. It certainly makes it a more relieving victory. Cup rugby is black and white. If you win, you're through. If you don't, you're out. But we were hugely relieved to make it through to the semi-final if we possibly didn't fully deserve it. We knew that we had a very long season ahead of us, even though we were getting into the back end of the season. And if we took our eye off the ball or took our foot off the gas in any way, then we wouldn't have any success, which we were starting to really desire. Now, we were at that point where we're doing well on all three fronts. We want to get this right. We want to win something this year.
So, Paul Grayson, the hero of the quarterfinal, but his boss John Steele had a shock in store for him in the week leading up to the semi-final against Clonethly.
It's genuinely difficult to recall the precise moment that I was told or realised that I wasn't going to start in the semi-final. I called my mum when I found out who was my go-to when sporting things, positive or negative, happened. Exceptional sportswoman in her own right. Always had the right thing to say. And I'd rank her. When I found out I wasn't playing, I was disappointed, needed to share it. She said not to worry, make sure you do everything you can to help the team and get yourself ready. And the last thing I said to her was, don't worry, I'll be involved. Now, in my head, without any word of a lie, for the next 5 days, all I visualised was my involvement as a last-minute kick to win the game. That's the absolute truth of it. It just came to me. I thought, well, if I'm going to be involved, it'll be a kick to win.
I think it was a surprise to a lot of people that Grace had been dropped. Paul Grayson's boot did, in some way, get us into the semi-final. But we had a culture in the club that whoever was on the pitch, we would trust and we could rely upon. There were enough players throughout the squad, not just the regular starting 15, who we knew could do more than a job for us.
So, Grayson watching on from the bench as his side stepped out at the Medeski Stadium.
The matchups were massive now.
Hello, Nick Beale. You just met Scott Quinnell.
Linetley's 8, 9 and 10. Scott Quinnell, absolute monster of a man and a sensational rugby player, Rupert Moonan. And Stephen Jones at 10 because he had good game craft. He could control his team well, given a decent supply of ball. Rupert Moon was a pain.
Rupert St. John Henry Barker Moon, scrum half, one of the great talkers of the game.
First half was absolutely fierce.
And into this fierce half stepped Matt Dawson. With Grayson on the bench, it would be Dawson who would take over on penalties. And his kicks kept Northampton in touch during an energy-sapping opening 20 minutes.
Dawson had done a lot of kicking for us. Lots of games he'd taken over kicking duties, and I don't recollect us doubting Dawson. He wouldn't have allowed us to doubt him anyway.
Matt Dawson, no mistake.
I helped Dawson out in the warm-up. I didn't actually kick any goals myself. I'm assuming that was me just being sensible and preserving myself and not some sort of strop. And lucky for us, he was in good form that day.
And it's gone a prodigious distance again off the boot of Matt Dawson.
And also, he's just that kind of person. The bigger the moment, the more likely he is to succeed. So I was never nervous that he would deliver a decent percentage.
But despite Dawson's accuracy, it was the Welsh side who were calling the shots and finding the space to take the lead into halftime.
Dead straight again, Jones, David James, James! Oh, mighty strength from the centre. The first try of the game and the semi-final comes to life.
So sitting in the changing rooms, 19-9 down at half-time, all we ever talked about was winning. And we hadn't taken the game by the scruff of the neck. We'd almost, for once, felt our way into the competition. As I recall, all the discussions at half-time were about doing the exact opposite of that and playing the rugby we knew we could play because time was running out for us.
But, you know, we'd come back from being behind plenty of times that season. And I think the one thing what Northampton were good at was coming back and getting stronger the more the game. And we had a fantastic bench. So whenever they got unloaded onto the pitch, they added something. Well, I remember going out on the second half, completely focused, knowing what we had to do.
And Saints came out firing in the second half.
6 metres out, Ali Heifer, Nick Beale. Nick Beale gets the pass on and Bateman! What a start for Northampton. Just what they wanted. Saints back into this semi-final.
It was game on again.
Game on indeed. But you'd be forgiven for not knowing what game was being played when Clonethley's Phil Booth decided to turn boxer and landed in the sin bin.
Back in the day, you used to have the back rows used to come up the side. And Phil Booth didn't like that. And he took offence to Tim Robber doing that. And he started swinging. Tim Robber, all the punches started bouncing off his head. But the referee said, off you go for 10 minutes.
The punch from the loose head. One, two, three of them. 10 minutes in the bin.
Well, obviously, at the time, we were quite grateful for that because we were under the cosh.
With Clonethley down to 14 men, Northampton battled back into the game.
Brilliant kick by Dawson. What a response from Northampton.
Dawson's kick took them to within 2 points. With the clock ticking down, Ben Cohen's quick thinking put Saints into the lead.
I'm watching from the sidelines. I'm already off. All I see is, and Ben Cohen does this a lot, he will do something amazing.
Ben was making waves then at that point, on his way to becoming the best player in his position in the world not too long after that. And the one thing he did know was the way to the try line.
What's the referee given? It's going to be a try.
He would have been almost impossible to stop in that scenario. 5 yards to go, 1 yard to work in. He would carry more than one man with him.
Clonethley came back strong. Northampton lost both Matt Dawson and inspirational captain Pat Lamb to injuries.
We were by no means over the line at that point, and they very nearly scored. Nick Beale making an excellent tackle to stop a try. It showed the never say die attitude that we had. We are at a point now where there was a huge amount at stake for us as a club, and whoever was on the pitch would do anything we could to get us through that.
At the end, we were camped on our line. The skipper was off.
Pat Lamb had injured his shoulder and was in the dead ball area, urging us on with his arm hanging down to the side, as I remember. But he wasn't going to go off the pitch to sit down. He wanted to be right amongst us as much as he could be.
Took them a long time to get Pat off the pitch. He virtually refused to leave. He was still calling lineouts from the in-goal area and trying to marshal the defence. And eventually he was escorted away.
This is almost farcical. It's not fair. Go on, Pat. He's got to go.
Lamb was off. So was Dawson, the man who'd been kicking so many Saints points. Time for John Steele to turn to the bench.
There was only really me, so it's time for me to get on and be available should we get a shot. Even with that, maybe it was 2.5 minutes to go. There was not a huge amount of rugby to be played. We find a way to win is the message. The game's on a knife edge, really, when I went on.
If this game goes to extra time, we will lose it.
Clonethley made a push for the try line that would probably seal defeat for Northampton.
Half a metre short. No, the referee says they're not there yet. Is it a try? No, but Clonethley have a penalty.
Clonethley held up, so back for the penalty that would make it 28-all.
Stephen Jones scores, tied, clock down to zero.
The game surely heading into extra time. But then, an inexplicable decision from Clonethley centre, Neil Boubier.
It'd been such an emotional game. It was end to end.
Oh, it's a penalty. Why, oh, why did he do that?
An absolute aberration from Boubier on the ground.
And if it comes down to this, Clonethley will be absolutely sick.
It showed the pressure of the situation. We were 80 minutes gone in a semi-final. The Heineken Cup final was at stake. This penalty really has now become a make or break. If it went over, then phenomenal. If not, then we were in some serious trouble.
The battered Saints players didn't feel they had extra time in them. So it came down to a kick. And of course, that meant it came down to Paul Grayson.
Even in the warm-up, I didn't kick a ball. And yet, in my mind, the only scenario I was ready for was the one that came.
So it's Paul Grayson from 41 metres. And it's all his. And his alone.
You're in position, you take a deep breath and you're ready to go. As soon as you move, there's no turning back. That's it.
It's on the way.
You think, this is our last chance. Please go over.
And it's there!
In that moment, I've never felt an adrenaline rush like it. It was an immense moment in my life and in my lifetime at the club.
Grayson kicks it out of play and the referee blows for the end of what's been a remarkable European Cup semi-final.
He raised the finger to someone you see in the crowd.
Lots of people thought that I was pointing at John Steele. Couldn't be further from the truth. I was pointing at my mum, who was in the crowd. And it was a moment of pure connection, me and her, to say, told you.
Emotions, amazing. You know you've been in a bit of a classic. But what you go to, you look in the crowd, see how happy the supporters are. And, you know, you enjoy the moment with them. And then when you get back in the changing room, reflect on what's been achieved. And then, you know, leave it there because you know you're one step away from something major going on in your career.
I get shivers down my spine just even thinking about it now. The hairs on the back of my neck are standing up. This was something different. This to me was head and shoulders above anything I'd ever experienced or would experience again.
The 2000 Heineken Cup final at Twickenham was on the horizon, but Northampton's first chance for major silverware came a fortnight before that in the Tetley's Bitter Cup final. Once again, it was Dallaglio's Wasps. Alan, Stewart and Grayson, you Wasps, will be out to avenge their quarter-final defeat.
We'd been knocking on the door to win the league. That was starting to slip a little bit. We were in another final, domestic cup final. It was a strange game.
Being in the Tetley Bitter Cup final a couple of weeks before and losing against Wasps wasn't the best preparation. Lawrence Dallaglio and the rest of his team were extremely focused in that day and put us to the sword, to be fair.
We were the second best team. Maybe Wasps were wanting to prove a point, having been knocked out of the quarterfinal by us and feeling aggrieved by that.
Well, Wasps got their revenge in a 31-23 win against a depleted Saints side. And the doubts began to creep into the minds of Northampton's players. They'd fallen short again. Could they go the extra step needed when it really mattered?
It was hugely disappointing afterwards to get to Twickenham and to see a side celebrating their victory and parading the cup around. Really not a nice place to be. And it hit us hard. It was tough. And I think there was also a realisation that we've gone from a point of potentially winning the triple and that being talked about to we're at a point where we might come out of this season with nothing, which was really chilling and very, very sobering.
We'd not won the league. We hadn't won the Tetley Bitter Cup. Yes, we'd won a nail-biting semi-final, but you're still in the zone of what have you won? And at that point, it was a big fat nothing.
And it wasn't only the mental side of the game taking its toll. The physical side was too. A number of Saints stars were out for the biggest match in the club's history.
Everyone was injured. Everyone was feeling it.
There were certain players that needed to be wrapped in cotton wool. Other players were struggling, did have injuries and were strapping and taping themselves up and getting themselves through games when really they needed some time off.
Matt Dawson was out, dislocated his shoulder. Nick Beale had broken his leg playing away at Saracens. Horrendous injury.
And to top it off, their captain and talisman, Pat Lamb, had major worries both on and off the field.
So Pat Lamb's wife was heavily pregnant, due to give birth any day. He also was struggling fitness-wise. His shoulder wasn't in a good way.
Pat Lamb not fit to play. Not by any stretch of the imagination. And still can't quite believe how he managed to defy the medics and strap his shoulder back on and play.
Fortunately for all involved, for all Saints supporters involved, his wife managed to hold on a bit longer and he was able to play the game and have no small part in the game as well.
Lamb found a way to play and, as Alan recalls, he found the words to inspire his walking wounded as the Saints prepared to step out onto the field.
So I remember Pat Lamb standing up and talking to us and asking us to picture a scene. Team meeting, bus to Twickenham, the warm-up, play the game, things didn't quite go right, and we lose the game.
And then he flipped it, asked all the same questions about what's it going to feel like if...
To be able to visualise the two different sides of the coin, I mean, it couldn't be any more polar opposites, could it?
66,441 people packed in here, a Twickenham audience, but with a special Irish flavour.
Munster, giants of Irish rugby, and also in their first Heineken Cup final. Twickenham was absolutely packed, a then record crowd for the tournament. Saints were in no doubts that they were up against the very best.
They are Munster, they're what it's all about.
Very powerful front row with Keith Wood in the middle.
Probably the best hooker in the world at the time.
Mick Galway was a real leader from the second row. Their back row was outstanding, led by Anthony Foley.
And also lead the Red Army that came with them, which was like nothing we'd seen. There seemed to be a hell of a lot of red shirts there that day. An enormous crowd. You're in the moment, you're feeling everything. But it was a proper wow moment with a level of intensity that was just sensational.
Our defining 80 minutes.
Great start for Saints and Grayson. A kick to put Saints ahead and the side dominating the opening 20 minutes.
Now out once again. Penalty Northampton. Grayson then for the lead, loops high and it is handsome. Northampton ahead. They have played a couple of minutes.
My memories of the first half is that we actually started very well. We had lots of possession. Our scrum was going well. Our lineup was... And they were under the cosh.
Pick up and drive again by Lamb. It's very, very powerful. Brilliant start from the Saints pack.
And we were very unlucky not to get a couple of tries in that opening period.
We played all of the rugby, but were just unable to really convert it.
Despite the dominance, Saints couldn't convert the chances into tries. And they were letting Munster back into the game. A kick from Jason Holland got them level at 3-3. And then it got worse for Saints.
But we'd suddenly gone from... We're on the front foot in their half again to in our 22 scrambling and they moved the ball. They nearly scored in the right-hand corner and then moved the ball well, the width of the pitch.
Real chance here. Munster opening out along the line to Holland.
A nice little miss pass over the top and we couldn't recover.
And it's going to be a tremendous try.
This isn't in the script. I can remember when they scored the try thinking we've been at Twickenham relatively recently and lost and are we going down that route again?
8-3 Munster. A Grayson kick brought it back to 8-6 at half-time. Back in the dressing room, Matty Stewart knew Saints needed to regroup for the biggest 40 minutes of their rugby lives.
At half-time, I felt the momentum was with them a bit, but this is where your leaders take over. I'm praying that we can stay in the game. Obviously, I have lots of respect for Munster and what they've done throughout the season. So, you know, I wouldn't say we was confident, but we knew what we had to do, basically.
We didn't need to panic. We didn't really need to change a huge amount. We needed to try and maintain that physical dominance up front and not do anything unnecessary.
Saints came out firing. And early in the second half, Grayson's boot was called upon once again to see Saints retake the lead.
Grace getting his 3 points early on in the second half did steady the nerves.
Grayson hanging it up beautifully. Another superb kick by Grayson. His third successful penalty goal of the match.
In front's always a good place to be.
Another penalty, but Grayson couldn't provide some breathing space for Saints. Matt Allen was feeling the effects of their tremendous efforts.
We were starting to flag. Tim Roper found himself on the wing, made a half break, got tackled, and I was 10, 15 metres away. And I can remember thinking to myself, I need to go and clear that tackle, otherwise we're going to lose it. But my body saying, I can't get there. Sure enough, Tim held on, got penalised, stood up and let us know that we needed to be there and hit the ruck. One of the few times that I got a bit of a hairdryer from Tim.
With the players flagging, once more, Grayson had a kick for a four-point lead. But the pressure was beginning to tell.
With a one-point lead, one mistake can come back and bite you on the backside.
Grayson then for three precious points, but again, just fractionally wide.
Two pressure kicks missed. Saints just that single point in the lead and time running out. Stuart picks up the story with 2 minutes to play.
Sometimes in a game, in a tight game, someone will do something silly. And to be fair, we were giving away some stupid penalties. Stuff which we would normally not do, not give them a sniff. And we kept giving them a sniff.
Yes, penalty given away by Northampton.
There was a feeling of, oh no, we've gone and done it again.
And, felt like 1,000 games at that point could come down to nothing.
Well, a moment of history surely for Ronan O'Gara.
So it fell to a young fella by the name of Ronan O'Gara. He'd missed all three of his kicks that day, but the man who'd go on to become an Ireland and Lions legend had one last kick to win it from a perfect position.
Ronan O'Gara, kept missing penalties, and in the back of my mind, I was thinking he's going to slot one. That was it. We've lost this. All this season, and we're going to go home with nothing.
I didn't watch him kicking it. It was silent. You could definitely hear my heart beating.
Praying.
The pressure of the situation, anyone with a penalty to kick, it was not a foregone conclusion.
O'Gara then, he stroked it well, it looks good, but it drifts away, it's missed the left hand upright.
The role that you play within a team as a goal kicker, you can have days where you're the hero, you can have days where you're the villain.
How the hell did he miss that? I couldn't believe it. It was like unreal. We've got out of jail here.
And that was that, the difference between me sitting here and not.
There's time on the clock. Injury time to play.
No pitch clocks then. There's no in the red. You've got no absolute idea of how long's left. And if we'd asked the referee once how long was left, you get ignored. Once he says 2 minutes, 2 minutes feels like a week. That last period before the final whistle.
And there's the whistle. There's the end of the match. And Northampton have won at last.
When that whistle goes, the feeling of safety that nobody can ever take that away is immense. Just a blur of running around.
Final whistle, 9-8 to Northampton. They'd finally done it, and by the most narrow of margins. Stuart, Allen and Grayson at the pinnacle of club rugby with a team they absolutely loved. The 120-year wait was over.
It was a massive sense of achievement, what you've gone through, how long the journey's been, and the memories we had along the way.
I'm so lucky to have had the experience that I had. And of course, for me, that was the absolute pinnacle.
Tim Rodber and Pat Lamb, captain of Northampton, European Cup winners of 2000.
We had a few beers in the changing rooms. We had a few beers on the way home, and we had a few beers all night long, to be fair.
Beer tastes somewhat metallic out of the Heineken Cup, but my God, it was good. It's only when you then look back and you think, wait a sec, that's not real. I still meet people nowadays who... Oh, you won the Heineken Cup, that's amazing, tell me all about it. It's unreal, it's something that I can't put into words.
It's a life experience that very few people get to take part in. Everyone's there. You are playing for your town. Everyone's Saints that day. That one's ours, no one can ever take it away.